Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Nugebauer, here with my co-host, Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Manor. We have a very important, very at times heavy season that we'd like to present you with, and that is on the topic of both prenatal and perinatal diagnoses. Just to give a little bit of introduction into what that means, for all of our listeners, whether they're expecting a baby and receive a diagnosis of that baby prenatally, so within the womb, or if they give birth to a baby and that baby is then diagnosed shortly after birth or the day of birth, whatever that may be, LCMS Life Ministry recognizes the hurt, the trauma, even the grief that can come along with such difficult diagnoses. And so we wanted to shed light not only on this issue for comfort for families who have gone through this, but also to raise some kind of awareness for church workers and lay people alike so that we'd be aware and also ready and willing to come alongside these families and support them in prayer and also in very tangible means as the church. So Tiffany, we've been in conversation a lot in the last couple of months about how can we care for these families. But what are you hoping that our listeners will get out of this season? And why did LCMS Life Ministry choose to address this?
Yeah, well, Steph, you and I both probably know people deeply who have faced challenging diagnoses with family members of all age ranges. But even specifically for those who have had challenging diagnoses with very young children. And I'm guessing our listeners too, as well. Can as even they hear the topic, might picture the face of someone that they love, who they've seen go through the sadness, the grief, the difficult decision making, the medical appointments, and all of those demands, and perhaps even felt, maybe like you and I might have as well, a sense of gosh, what should I do to care for them? How should I be helpful during this time? Particularly if we've not experienced it ourselves. I've been pregnant 5 times. I've had 4 children born alive and that I've been able to nurture all the way up to adulthood. And I've not personally faced an adverse diagnosis, either before they were born or immediately after. I mean, my kids have had their own medical challenges and we've had hospital stays and things like that, but it's different. So every medical diagnosis and challenge that a family faces is unique, but there's something that feels quite different about babies, right? Babies in utero and babies just after they're born. And I think our world is recognizing this now, and the church certainly more than we used to years ago. At times, people might have felt awkward, like I was describing, and they hung back. And now we're able to talk about it more, and let's too then figure out better how we can provide spiritual care and how we can help these families go through the challenges they face in the medical system. Because Steph, you and I have both worked in pregnancy centers, and we've both talked to a lot of women who are vulnerable to abortion. And some of them, may have had stories like this, but it's the pressure is increasing that families would receive, particularly if it's a prenatal diagnosis, that they might choose abortion, that their doctors and other medical providers might be telling them, we think that you should have an abortion. And I think going to hear from some families who can give some hope to that like, no, you don't have to go down that path. You can still carry this child and love it and care for this child as long as God gives and God then decides when life ends, that we don't make that decision. So those are some hopes, about providing spiritual care, a supportive community, but then also heartening the families to really let the lives of our children rest in our Lord's hands. What are your hopes?
Well, echoing what you just said, but then also realizing most of our listeners are probably, know of someone, whether in their family or in their friend group, who has someone, a family member who has Down syndrome. So that would be a trisomy 21 diagnosis. And oftentimes those can be detected with ultrasound and further genetic testing. But then maybe less commonly known or understood are diagnoses such as trisomy 13 and trisomy 18. And any of the trisomy diagnoses are a matter of it's a genetic diagnosis. So it's an extra third chromosome that attaches to either the 13th chromosome in the case of trisomy 13, the 18th in the case of trisomy 18, or the 21st in the case of trisomy 21 or Down syndrome. But then there's also diagnoses such as anencephaly, where it is detected in utero with an ultrasound. And there's major health challenges that are associated with all of these diagnoses. But something I wanted to point out is that oftentimes families will hear, whether it's as they're expecting their baby or after birth, this lethal language. This is a fatal fetal anomaly. This is a lethal diagnosis. This is incompatible with life. And something that I would really encourage our listeners to tune into is the fact that probably a better classification or better verbiage would be it's life-altering or life-limiting. It's not necessarily incompatible with life. And the research proves this, is that these babies who either receive these diagnoses in utero or after being born, with the proper care and management, can actually live for weeks, for months, or even years afterwards. And so just the realization for also for church workers to be able to come alongside these families as they're meeting with their physicians in these doctor's appointments, to be able to kind of arm them both with support and a reframing of what we believe about life. And often doctors will, and I'm not saying everyone will, but in the case of pressuring for abortion, doctors will make the case that this is a quality of life issue. And we want to reframe that with the proper care and the proper management of pain and the proper providing of food and water, developmental care for these children, they can live well beyond the expectations of the physicians who are in charge of their care. And so it's another part of this conversation is to be able to reframe entirely how we look at life and to be able to help these parents feel that they're supported, that they can bring this child to birth, and whether their life involves a couple of breaths or whether this child is blessed to live 2 years beyond its birth date, or 15 years, or 40 years. We as Lutheran Christians recognize that all life is created by God and is valued by God, and Christ died for that life. And so that's how we want to be talking about this child's life, no matter how hard or difficult this diagnosis is. But then also realizing that with the pressure of abortion that often is put on either by the surrounding community or the medical community, is the fact that not only is there somewhat of a trauma, of course, in receiving this initial diagnosis, but also there would be the trauma of the decision for abortion. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing it is to be able to bring this child, and as you put it, put the life of that child into the Lord's hands, including the timing as well.
Absolutely.
We've already mentioned, Tiffany, why this topic can be so difficult. But what is the good news in this season? Because we need some good news in order to encourage our listeners to listen. And there is good news. So what do we have for them?
Of course, Christ is always the best news, right? As you were saying, Christ redeemed every life, including these children before birth. He died on the cross, was raised for them, for their parents. And one of my favorite passages is in Christ's ascension, where he gives up the beautiful promise that he would be with his disciples, with his people, to the very end of the age. And we see this in his name, Emmanuel, God with us. So in all of these things, God is with the parents, these children, and with those of us who seek to care for them, that we're the body of Christ and Christ, his church, that these parents should not feel alone. and that they should also have really tangible expressions of God's provision and strengthening for them, his word, the sacraments, and the church, you know, gathered around the word. We're loving them and supporting them.
Yeah, well, and I'll throw back to the Old Testament too in Deuteronomy 31. It says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And so that's ultimately, as you said, the hope that we want to echo until eternity is realized. Mm-hmm. It's that the Lord is always with us, and the challenge is he's there in the midst of them. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of courage. And so that's what we hope to leave our listeners with through the stories that are going to be told this season.
Absolutely. You know, I've often reflected as I was first pregnant and through all of my pregnancies and then raising my children, as much as I love this child, God, in ways I cannot even begin to fathom or imagine, loves this child far more than I do. And that's a comfort and an assurance that he is all powerful, all knowing, and he too has created this child, claimed this child. And then too, when we're able to bring the child to the waters of holy baptism, which at times, you know, when children die, that's not possible, but we still trust in God's mercy and his promises and his love for our, every child that he creates. It's also important that we think through some of the ways we maybe don't even realize that the culture is sending us messages about, well, you know, a compatibility with life or these phrases about quality of life, and that God does not care about what we're able to do and what we're not able to do. Some people will say the phrases like, we're not human doings, we're human beings. God just created us to rest in him. And so that, I think that's another thing that we should think about in all of this.
Yeah, thank you. And so we welcome all of our listeners to join us in this season where we learn from these families, we hear their stories, and in their stories, we see Christ. Thanks so much, listeners, for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people he has called you to serve, right where you are in God's mission.